You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruryak. If you were to hang out in our newsroom for a day or two or six, chances are you would hear this phrase, "Great question." So we've turned that idea into a new CAP Radio project, and we're calling it, are you ready for this? Great question. We're using a reporting platform that you might know. It's called Harkin. And in the studio with me to explain is CAP Radio host and occasional Insight guest host, Randall White. Hi,
yeah.
Randall.
Well, it's great to be on this side.
I'm flipping you to the other right. chair today. Will you explain this project a little more?
So some people may know, if you've ever been to Chicago and listened to the NPR affiliate there, they have one called Curious City in the San Francisco Bay Area. The KQED has something called Bay Curious. And what it does is it sort of flips the model on its head in the newsroom, where instead of standing around in the newsroom and we figure out what the news stories are, and then after we publish the stories, the public then sounds off and says what they think about that story. The public is the first, the listeners are the first people to jump in and say, we think this is a story or this is a question we would like to have answered. And then we go through those, find the ones that, you know, are valuable stories, we believe, for the community, and then report them out. And in many cases, we bring in the question asker so that they can be an integral part of the story.
So the impetus becomes you, the listener or the reader. And we have our first example. It is a question about trees, and it came from listener Jennifer Drayton. Jennifer's in the studio, too, to talk about this experience of becoming part of the CAP Radio reporting team. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Did you know what you had set in motion with this question?
I had no idea. This cascade of excitement. Regarding the question series, I'm so excited to be like the maiden voyage.
Where did this begin? How did this begin?
Well, our digital team put out a blast asking for questions. And we got about 100 right out the gate. I mean, seriously, within about 24 hours.
And this is through Harkin.
Through Harkin, which then it's a platform that you can plug into Facebook or Twitter or email, all those different ways. And it exists on our capradio.org website.
And just so you get the spelling correctly, it is H-E-A-R-K-E-N.
Like Hearken.
Yes. So if you're looking it up and thinking, I'm not finding what you're talking about, spell it H-E-A-R.
Yeah. Okay. So the Harkin plugin, which we, for here at CAP Radio, we call Great Question, it didn't have a name at that point. And Jennifer somehow stumbled upon it. And I'm not sure, did you use Facebook or...
No, I received an email from
an email.
You. Yeah,
okay.
An email survey question saying you were soliciting ideas for local stories.
Yeah.
And just off the top of my head, I was standing in line at the grocery store and I got this great email and I asked and I rattled off a question about trees.
So fill in a little bit of the backstory. You're new to the area.
I am new to the area. I am a Sacramento resident as of about 4.5 years ago, originally from the Bay Area, yet another annoying Bay Area refugee. I moved to Sacramento to retire, honestly, and looked for housing for several years and found a wonderful home in Arden Park. And part of the appeal of the home was these just very impressive tree canopy, just beautiful trees. And I'm from Oakland and being a city girl, I had never had a backyard before. And now I have both a front and a backyard. It's an embarrassment of riches.
With gorgeous trees, I've seen them.
Gorgeous trees.
So what was the question?
So my question was, Sacramento has this beautiful tree canopy, just enormous. Everyone knows Sacramento for its trees. And I began to think, part of the appeal of my particular home is the tree canopy. And I began to think and we moved here in July, so pretty hot as an Oakland resident. It was a
temperatures
shock.
Are not familiar
you can say
with
a shock.
Yeah.
Definitely
yes.
A shock. And so I thought the tree canopy would definitely be helpful in keeping things more moderate, and that just sort of prompted me thinking, how much benefit do we get from our trees here in Sacramento in terms of weathering our weather, essentially?
And where did they come from?
Mm-hmm. from? And how did Sacramento come to have this enormous variety of trees? Was it part of a plan? Was it just happenstance? Do we have a particularly conducive climate to growing trees?
I think there are some urban myths about how various trees got here, but you did set some reporting in motion. So what happened next?
Well, we called in several experts, and Sacramento happens to be home to them. And in fact, one of the interesting things, Beth, is Paula Pepper is a researcher who is really known as the expert in this area of the history of Sacramento's trees. Wouldn't you know, she lives just houses away from Jennifer, around the corner in Arden Park, and knew your home from many years ago, because she grew up there, right?
Exactly. Yeah, she grew up in the neighborhood and knew the original owners of my home before it was remodeled.
You wouldn't expect that all to come together.
I'm sure she knew your trees, too.
Oh, she did. She went in my backyard and said, I know that cork oak. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this concept of Sacramento being a tree city goes back, according to her research, to the Gold Rush days.
Yeah, it does. It goes back. The very first reference to it was in 1855. There was an article written. And at that time, it was known as the City of Plains, meaning not like the fly.
Open
but
field
flat, open
plains.
Fields, right. So the City of Plains. And a reporter said, in no amount of time, this will be known as the City of Trees. And that phrase really caught on, and by the turn of the century, in the early 1900s, it was being used all the time.
So you spent some time in the history, but then you moved ahead to the impact and the place of the trees, and there were more experts who had input.
It's true. The Sacramento Tree Foundation, it really has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to this. And Kevin Hawker also he's the city's lead arborist. They all weigh in on the fact, as does Paula Pepper, that the more trees that surround where you live, the healthier you are, both mentally and physically. It shows lower rates of diabetes, lower rates of depression. And then, as Jennifer pointed out, the canopy acts as a major cooling mechanism, which has dropped temperatures, can drop temperatures on a street by as much as 10 degrees, which is a big deal. If it's 100 versus 90, that you can feel the difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You must experience, without really realizing it, that sense of well-being. You chose big trees in your yard.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be a Sacramento resident, and the trees definitely contribute to that. Absolutely.
Yeah, the number one tree right now in Sacramento is something that a lot of people call a sycamore, but it's actually called a London plane tree. And Jennifer, you have one of those on your property.
My neighbor has one of those.
Your neighbor has one, yeah.
My neighbor has one, yes.
And, they have that sort of mottled bark. They're beautiful trees, but there's too many of them now. There's more than 15% of the canopy lies in that area. The Tree Foundation and the City of Sacramento weigh in on which trees should be planted on your private property and also on the streets and in the parks and that sort of thing. And Tori Dunavant with the Tree Foundation, through the Sacramento Shade Program, which is funded by SMUD, they've changed their metric for which trees should be planted. And I just want to hear from Torin here, who explains why.
We shifted over to using carbon as the main goals for us. That still would take into account energy savings and rainfall interception and all the different benefits that you would get. But the more carbon a tree stores through just in its own mass, and then how much carbon it helps to avoid by shading buildings and things like that, that's what's setting our goals now. And so our team members, we're planting about 10,000 trees a year. You know, they are thinking about what's the ideal planting location at everyone's house to get us our highest carbon number.
So shade used to be the main factor,
right?
And it still is a factor, but these denser hardwoods store more carbon. And so they're moving toward things like, you see a lot of Chinese pistache, which you have on your street, Jennifer. They're bright red in the fall time. They're beautiful. They're actually a very hard wood, and they store a lot of carbon. Another consideration, Beth, that is affecting the trees that are planted is climate change. And Kevin Hawker, again, the lead arborist for the city, says as temperatures rise in California experiences these prolonged dry spells, some trees will not adapt as well as others.
Through time, you know, two trees in particular come to mind when we mention that topic, and those are birches and redwood trees. Now, those are two trees that in nature grow next to rivers and need a lot of water, a lot more than people think. And if you look around the city of Sacramento, you're not going to find more than a handful of birches. They've already kind of faded out, both because of lack of water and extreme heat.
A tree fading out can be dramatic.
Right.
I had this experience just last night. I was sitting in my living room and I heard a huge crash and I thought a branch had come down in our backyard. Go outside and it's dark and I can see far more stars than I usually see in my backyard. And this very, very old oak that sits on a hillside decided time's up.
Mm.
And that was it. And luckily it dropped into the gully and not the other way on any of our roof. But the trees come and go at differing lengths and differing lives.
They do.
And our trend in choosing trees over the years has a lot to do with that turnover in our city.
It really does. And as we take into account climate change, and Sacramento is projected to be warmer and drier, and Kevin Hawker, who we just heard from here, says that is going to play into what we see planted 30 years from now, and it may not look like the trees that we have here today.
One of the first things that you do is you look at other areas that have a similar climate to you. And we have what's called the Mediterranean climate, and there's very few places that have a climate that's similar to us. And so you look to see what trees are faring well in those areas. We also look to our neighboring local areas that are just a little bit hotter than we are, such as Arizona, New Mexico, and the like. And we take a mix of trees that seem promising from those areas, and we try to work with those. So off the top of my head, a type of Palo Verde, which is common in the desert southwest, and I believe we're looking at type of eucalyptus that's from Australia, but it's not the kind of eucalyptus you're familiar with seeing. So we're looking at some of those as promising options.
I thought about that when the oak went down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there isn't the water to sustain it and the land to sustain it, but thinking about Palo Verde all over town?
It doesn't seem.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
It's not congruent with what we have right now, but it might be 30 years from now.
So, Jennifer, what'd you learn? What did you come to understand through this experience and all this information about trees?
One of the things that struck me was that in Randall's research and talking to these experts is the person who originally planted trees in Sacramento to start it as a tree capital was attracted to the trees for the same reason I was attracted to my backyard in Sacramento. The trees were it's warm here in the summertime, and the trees provide shade and cooling mechanisms. And I thought it's just an interesting bookend that it started for the same reasons that I hear, you know, hundreds of years later, am attracted to the tree canopy.
Yeah.
It's one other reality. You've been in this area now how long?
About four and a half years.
Okay, let's check back when you've been here seven. And
right.
Let's see if you're developing any allergies to those trees in your neighborhood.
Yeah, the allergies, that's a whole other.
The allergies are something to contend with, but I'll put up with that just so because it keeps me from getting sunburned.
Ah, that's a great attitude. That is Jennifer Drayton. Hers was the first question in a new Cap Radio project titled Great Question. Randall White, our afternoon All Things Considered host and sometimes Insight host too, is guiding some of this. So if someone else has a question, how do we connect?
Well, right now, this story is the very first story you'll see at capradio.org. So if you go to capradio.org, you can listen to the piece, and there we'll link you to the Great Question software, I guess, and so that you can ask your question. And Beth, one thing that we're going to do in the future, which is fun, because we're already working on a couple of other stories right now, is we're getting so many story ideas. We want to put it out to you, the listener, to let us know
which ones.
So we will take three or four that are our favorites in the newsroom, put them up there, and then we'll put it up for a vote. Whichever one comes out on top, that's the one we'll report on.
I think trees are such a great common denominator and such a definition of this area that you hit on a good one. Well,
absolutely.
Welcome officially to the area.
Thank you so much.
And happy holidays. Enjoy the fact that those trees are going to have leaves on them through Christmas and New Year's.
Absolutely.
Which
yes.
Doesn't always happen. And Randall, thanks again. It has been a hectic month for me, and I love knowing that you step in here and just handle it like a pro.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Beth. I'm glad I could do that for you.
Yeah. Happy holidays.
Likewise.
So there is more at capradio.org. And this is Insight. We'll be back in a bit with some holiday music.